listeners, something a little different today. Chloe and I talk about our favorite music, mostly. And yes, we did make a Spotify list. And yes, it includes none of the songs we talk about. And yes, it is in the description, just like the link to our new Discord. Feel free to stop by and say hi, or give us your recs, or just if you want to join yet another server that you'll never chat in, but just want to feel included, you know, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to In Media Labs, a podcast about queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
And today, we'll be discussing, it's going to be a weird episode. I don't know how this is going to work exactly. We're just going to talk about music. And like, I don't know, I guess the music that we like, it doesn't necessarily have to be queer. It could be anything. I don't know. Just music.
It could just be music, yeah. But I feel like all of the music I listen to is queer, just because Spotify, like, really knows me.
I mean, Spotify does tend to pigeonhole you. I think mine has kind of done similarly over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I actually wanted to go back. I thought a little bit about how this would work.
Well, I was hoping you'd tell me about your, like, personal history of how you went or moved through music over the years.
That was exactly what I was going to ask you, but I was going to start with a very discreet question, which was, what was the first band do you remember being obsessed with?
Huh. Excellent question. I think Evanescence and Linkin Park, especially with their collaboration for the Daredevil one.
Okay. That's a good pick. I remember a lot of people being obsessed with that collab, so that makes sense.
I think I was 6 or 7, and like Daredevil was always on.
Yeah.
And that was the best song. But I wouldn't say I was obsessed with a band ever, really, until high school. And then in high school, I really got into music. Okay. How about you?
Okay. So when I was like 4 or 5, there was this Beatles song called Dance Music. I think it's off the album Beatles for Sale. And I really like that album. And so I would put it on, and I don't know. I guess it was because I think my dad used to put it on, and he would dance really sillily. Is that a word? He would do a very goofy dance to that song. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what I've liked about it so much. So I played that song until the CD stopped working. So really, I feel like that was the first song. There's the Beatles, which feels very cliche, but yeah. And then until high school was when I felt like maybe 8th grade, 7th grade is when I really feel like I rediscovered music.
Okay, that's cool. I actually just realized that I lied. It wasn't Evanescence and Linkin Park.
Okay,
it
was wasn't Tattoo. That cool.
Okay. She said.
That's of course. Hair. Of course. Yeah. Okay.
But it was really, really, really big on Russian MTV.
Yes.
So around that time, it was just always on.
Which is a very famous queer baiting song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Tattoo, you know, they are not gay.
They're definitely not straight.
Okay. But
one of them is definitely not straight, like 100%.
Okay.
The other one is, you know, who knows, but like, at this point, it doesn't matter. It's gay. You know? The song is gay culture.
Yeah. And I recognize, you know, being open about your sexuality in Russia is much more difficult. So I'm sure that's part of the
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what could possibly be wrong about being gay in Russia?
Which is actually ridiculous because most, if not all, of the, like, artists on TV look exceptionally homo. I'm going to send you a few as we're talking.
Okay. I always understood Russia, though, is very don't ask, don't tell about things.
It's a little show and tell, but
okay. Yeah. Okay. I look forward to these pictures. I'll do my best to describe them for our listeners. Oh, am I not waiting for the pictures? Should I start talking?
No, I'm just... Yeah, okay. Let's keep the conversation going and then
To talk about, like, what happened, I don't know, like, what was the first bands I really got into? So in middle school, I got really into Green Day and Blink 182 because I remember I heard all the, not all the small things, Adam's song by Blink 182. Mm-hmm. We listened to it on the bus ride to school. Like, the bus driver let us pick the station, and that's where I heard Adam's song, which is actually a really depressing song about, not going to describe it because it's too depressing for the show, but like, it's a very depressing, we don't want to have to put content warnings. It's a very depressing song. And from that, I also found out about Green Day, I think because of that song, Good Riddance, Time of Your Life. I feel like that's everyone's first Green Day song, or it was back then. I know Green Day has more famous songs now, but like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
you hit all the big ones, the big groups.
Yeah, I was into Blink and Green Day, and then I got into Real Big Fish, and I saw Real Big Fish live. My mom took me. And when I was in 7th grade, and Sum 41 opened for them, because that was before Sum 41 was big. So I saw Sum 41 when they were just a crappy, random Canadian punk band, and not what they ended up being. Like, the lead singer was dating Avril Lavigne for a while.
Ooh, cool.
Yes. So
I was big into Avril, but I feel like literally everyone was.
Yeah, everyone was into Avril.
Yeah.
Avril was really big. I feel like my freshman year of high school was when Avril's album really blew up. And like, there were multiple girls at my high school who wore the skinny ties and stuff. Yeah, so what were the bands you got into in high school?
I was really big in All Time Low and Pierce the Veil.
Okay.
Of Mice and Men was pretty big for me.
I don't know Pierce the Veil.
I'm sure you heard songs by them. You know Sleeping with Sirens?
No.
It's all very emo.
Okay. Pierce the Veil is an American rock band from San Diego, formed in 2006. Okay.
So they were pretty big. Basically, I was really into the Warped Tour band list scene. So that was a fairly long period of time that I was just into the same band.
Did you ever go to the Vans Warped Tour?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been once. It was fine. I think I really enjoyed it. I didn't like how every single area smelled like weed.
that's every concert.
But yeah. But like, in some concerts, it's, you know, contained to several like little areas. But
yeah.
The entire festival was just weed smelly.
I'm so jealous because I never got to go to Warped Tour.
Oh, I think it's coming back.
My mom wouldn't let me.
So that's my high school phase. And then it was a lot of like really angry music, Memphis Mayfire, things like that. But I really fairly quickly got out of that phase when I started going to college.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I might have been a very angry kid.
That would not surprise me.
You know, a little secret. And like, nothing was wrong at home. My family's awesome. It's just, you know, teenagers and hormones and all that stuff. I was just a very angry child.
Yeah.
But then after that was over, I got to college. I mellowed out a lot of indie stuff. Also, around the same time, Life is Strange, that soundtrack really, really changed my taste in music. It went more into like that ballady kind of relaxing music.
Okay.
And now you can kind of, you know my music taste right now. It's like the Salt playlist on Spotify.
The Salt playlist? Why is it called Salt?
Because it's about salty women
most of the time.
Well, it's salty songs, but like 90% of them are queer women.
Okay.
So there's that. How about you? My metamorphosis was angry, chill, average.
I also had the angry phase. So, you know, after like Green Day, Blink 182, I got more into kind of the old school punk. So like Susie Sue, Crass, Casualties, Dead Kennedys, Clash. And I actually think it's through the Clash, which, you know, early 80s British punk band, but they tended to do a lot of like, in my mind, and I hope there isn't like a real life music critic listening to this, because I'm sure they will like be like, Chloe, this is a stupid connection. But in my mind, Clash in a lot of ways was kind of proto indie in some ways, because they like, I don't know, they had this like punk aesthetic and this punk shell, but they were using it to do more interesting things than just punk songs. And it was more, it got more kind of artsy as it went on, and arguably a little more, and they softened a little bit, especially with like London Calling and whatnot. But yeah, I think, so by like junior year of high school, I heard it, I was in the car with my mom, and mm-hmm. I remember we were listening to NPR, and they played this band called The Decemberists.
Okay.
Named after your favorite Russian revolutionary group who blew up that train or whatever. Right? That's what The Decemberists did?
I have no idea.
Come on. I thought you would know your Russian history.
I don't know any Russian history.
Okay. They were a 19th century Russian revolutionary group. But anyways, the band itself is not. They're from Portland, Oregon. They just thought it was a cool name. They do like, I would call it like hyper-literate indie rock. Like lots of very pretentious rhymes and whatnot. But I got really into them. And so I was pretty obsessed with the Decemberists for a while. And through that, I got into more of the indie scene. Like Neutral Milk Hotel. I mean, I feel like Neutral Milk Hotel is like such an... I think it's the type of album... Okay, let me ask you this. While I'm in this weird headspace.
The best headspace, yeah.
Do you listen to lyrics? Because some people don't.
For some songs, I do.
Okay.
For some songs, I don't. When I was in high school, I knew all the lyrics to all the songs, but that tapered off. Now, it really depends if a song really vibes with me. It's probably because the lyrics are dope, but like I don't think I'm super concerned with lyrics as much as I was before. How about you?
So this is the thing. I read an article about this once. That about a third of people don't care about the lyrics at all to the music they listen to. They basically don't hear it. They hear the music. A third are kind of in the middle, like maybe you, where they kind of hear some lyrics and some lyrics really stick with them. And then a third just can't help but listen to the lyrics. And that's me. Like any song I hear, any song that's memorable to me, I mean, the music helps. And, like, if the music kind of sucks, like, it can't just be someone, like, doing their spoken word over, like, a jam band. Because you and I saw an opener that was like that, and that was not good.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I loved it.
You don't know what I'm talking about? Okay, yes.
No, I know what you're talking about, but it was awesome. No, I know.
Oh, my God.
It was, like, pretty bad.
Okay.
But, like, in the best way.
I mean, it was definitely memorable. Like, it was a very memorable opener. This opener we saw for the Mountain Goats a year ago. That, like, it was a woman reading her poetry over a jam band. It was not great. It went on forever. But anyway, so, like, I listen to the lyrics. I like the lyrics. I always hear them. I can't tune them out. And to the point where, like, I don't know. Like, bands have to be lyrically interesting. And Val has finally sent me her Russian musicians. Are these all musicians, or are these celebrities in general?
The first four photos, they're musicians, and then
okay.
The last one is a host for a morning show.
Okay. So let me describe them one by one for our listeners, because you're right, these people are pretty obvious, I guess. The first one, we've got a woman maybe in her 40s, with bleach blonde short hair in like a very butch style. She has a neck tattoo that's peeking out of a white t-shirt.
She does have a husband and children, but that does not take away from the gender presentation.
She's got like David Bowie energy, so
vibes. Yeah.
The second one, this green and red one, I don't even know the gender of this, no, I assume this is a woman, but very, very androgynous.
That's like, Zimfira. She's been around forever. A lot of her songs are about AIDS.
Okay. This looks like if you had sent this to me and said this was like without the text and without the crazy background and said like, this is a 14-year-old boy's MySpace photo, I would have believed you, so.
Yeah. And she still looks pretty similar. Okay. To this day.
Next, we've got a guy with the most fabulous hair. It's like Farrah Fawcett hair. And an amazing tiger blouse. It looked like a blouse.
Probably one of those very flowy shirts.
Yes. He kind of looks like a cross between an 80s mom and an 80s hair metal star. It's like not quite, like he needs to be like about 50% more extra to be like in an 80s hair metal band. So now he just kind of looks like an 80s mom.
Yeah.
The next photo, maybe we'll post links to all these photos so you can see what we're talking about. It's a man kissing another man, or but again, the man being kissed is got some androgynous aspects.
So actually, for that picture, I was looking for the dude who was being kissed.
Okay.
He is very androgynous, queer-coded person. Yeah. I didn't know about the other one. I don't know who the other one is. I believe he might be a singer.
Okay.
But Googling him brings me to, like, weird military people. So I don't think it's him.
He got conscripted.
I believe he's a singer, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then our final man here. He looks like he's, like, a queer youth pastor at a really open and cool church. I think it's because of the neckerchief he has.
Yeah, I think so. I'm gonna try and find actually a YouTube video so you can see how he moves.
Okay.
In life, in space, and you'll definitely be like, that is a gay man.
He is wearing a suit jacket that has like a hammock in front of a palm tree on it. He has these like blue Fisher Price glasses on. And yeah, he's wearing a neckerchief. And his hair is out. You're right. It's definitely,
That's just off the top of my head. And I'm not really, really big into Russian culture. So I don't know the names of a lot of the ones that are coming to mind.
Oh my God, this video of him though.
It's very low quality from
No, but he's
speaking Russian, but you know he's fruit.
Wow, I wouldn't put it that way, but yes, he is
he's got that I would say it's like the gay lisp, but like yes, in Russian it's not a lisp. Yeah.
And he's wearing just a scarf indoors and this crazy like pendant necklace thing. I don't know what that thing is that's hanging, like, in the middle. It's like an amulet.
Okay. He has a fashion show.
Okay. Okay. There we go.
I sent you the spelling of the name of the show. It's called Modny Prigovor. I want you to just Google image search that.
Okay.
And just look at all the outfits he wears. I think he's gotten straighter recently, like, on screen vibes, but...
Yeah, yeah, this is okay. I mean,
this is all riveting for our listeners.
Yeah, sorry. He just likes to wear a lot of very flamboyant suits with a lot of flamboyant neckwear, and his hair is always immaculate, and he's always very, very big, thick, noticeable glasses. Everything about him is just very flamboyant.
Super very flamboyant. And that's always been there for the 20 odd years, the 27 years, 28? The 28 years that I've been on this planet. Anytime I see Russian television, like, there's so many queers. All the morning shows, all of the, like, really, really big artists that have been singing for, like, 20, 30, 40 years, all of them play around a lot with gender.
Okay.
Which is really weird why the country is so, like, against it, but they love these artists.
Okay, wait. So this guy's name is Alexander Alexandrovich Vasiliev?
So the middle name is usually the name of the father.
Okay.
So, for example, my middle name is Markovna, which my dad's name is Mark.
Okay.
My mom's name is Viktorovna. because her dad's name is Victor. So the middle name is like...
Okay, but he's a Russian and French fashion historian, art critic, theater artist, interior decorator, collector, and TV presenter.
Yeah, he's fruity.
And then, so, I don't see it. Okay, he married a French woman in 1982.
All of these people, I think, are married to the opposite gender.
Yeah, but it might be like...
But I mind my business. Yeah, you know, it's a... it might be a beard thing. It might be just like you live in Russia.
Okay.
It might also just be like there's a certain image that the Russian music and TV scene has cultivated, and those people are more successful. Like, who knows?
Okay.
But
fair enough.
Regardless, having that as the culture, like a very, very prominent culture, and still being so homophobic, it's so weird. It is bizarre to me. I never understood it, and I still don't understand it. And I think right now it's more policed. But like 2000s, dude, everyone was gay. So now that we went on that like really weird cultural journey with me and my heritage.
And good old Alexandrovich here.
Let's get back to our music journey.
Okay. I feel like I didn't quite finish. I mentioned I was like talking about the Decemberists. Mm-hmm. And then Neutral Milk Hotel, and then I went down that whole like lyrical vibe. Long story short, through all those indie bands, I don't know, you get into some weird stuff, Joanna Newsom, Olivia Tremor, Control of Montreal, those sorts of things. And then I got really into the Mountain Goats in college, sophomore year. Mm-hmm. I remember because a dude who lived in my dorm by the name of Corbin burned me a CD full of Mountain Goat concert bootlegs. Because that was what you did.
Corbin.
That's what you did back then.
Solid.
That's what you do back then. You burn people music. Like, I'm sorry, listeners who are under the age of like 25, but that's what you did.
Yeah. I have so many DVDs.
Yeah.
In the basement. And like, remember those like bags with all the like little DVDs? It's a disc container. The ones that you zip up. Why am I spacing on
the
English?
Bags?
Like the zip up bags. I'll show you. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I have no idea. I have no.
It's like DVD holders or something.
The zip up bags that hold DVDs. What the heck are you talking about?
I'm going to send you an image right now and you'll be like, yeah, I have 20 of those. Hold on. I don't speak English. I don't know what you want from me.
Yeah. Okay. You have a degree. Oh, a binder. Like a CD binder.
Is it a binder? I thought it was like a case.
Or a case, not a bag.
I couldn't remember the word for case.
I just had this mental image of like this floppy thing full of discs. I was like, that's the worst way to store discs.
They are all super scratched up.
Right. Well,
they look like tortilla chips.
That was like the thing about physical media, for those of you who don't know, is that CDs scratched really easily and they skipped really easily. And so if you were using a Discman or something and you're walking down the street, you had to be very careful about how you held it.
Absolutely.
Or else it would start skipping.
No
I remember
jumping.
I got an MP3 player. Okay, so I had an MP3 player, I think junior year of high school. And it was like the coolest thing ever because you could do whatever. And then after senior year, I got my first iPod. I actually mm-hmm. bought it with my first paycheck from working at the golf course.
Nice.
I went out and bought an iPod. It was the iPod Color. I remember it being like revolutionary in my mind that like, oh my God, I can like watch a movie on this little like postage stamp size screen. But it was still just like mind-blowing back then. Yeah. So anyways.
I had an iPod Shuffle.
Okay, one of the screenless ones.
The teeny tiny square one. Yeah.
It was
they're still being sold. Whoa.
I mean, it makes sense. Like sometimes you want something just super bare bones, but I don't know how you could. I don't know. I need more control of my music these days.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been spoiled by Spotify and having access
so
to like
spoiled.
All the music in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The Mountain Goats got big into them thanks to those bootlegs from Corbin. Shout out to Corbin. I don't know what he's up to these days. I assume he's back in Portland because he really loved Portland. So I hope you're having fun there, Corbin.
you changed anyway. Chloe's life.
Yes. I would put those on my friend Ellie, whom you've met, and I would just sit in my dorm room and do homework. Or rather, I would usually like fall asleep, but like, because I love to nap. But she would do homework and I would listen to the Mountain Goats and fall asleep. And yeah, I became really obsessed with them, and I've been obsessed with them ever since. But aside from them, you know, as I've gotten older, I feel like my music taste has chilled out quite a bit. I mean, I'll still listen to some punk on occasion, but like, I like a lot more folksy stuff. Lately, I've been doing, I don't know, like some alt country vibes. Like, I really love Orville Peck, as you know.
Yeah, I do know that.
He rules.
He's pretty like, good. Yeah.
A game ass cowboy. How can you say no to that? I don't know. And just, oh my God, we also have to talk about musicals. I love musicals. I've always have.
I'm aware of musicals.
Val is not a big music. Like, we need to have Sarah and Becky on so that the three of us can gush and you can feel left out.
Oh, like half the time that I'm at your place and everyone's there and you guys start talking about, like, you make the most obscure little references, which I'm pretty sure are not that obscure, but to me it's like, yeah, listening like, to a different language is great.
We're talking about like Phantom of the Opera and Val has no idea.
Yeah. I just sit there and listen to all of my friends have a good time. It's awesome.
Yeah, why are you friends with so many people who are so into musical theater if you yourself are not?
Because I enjoy the diversity, Chloe.
Okay, you've lived in New York for like 2 decades.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone to a Broadway show?
Yeah, Fiddler on the Roof.
Okay. Anything else?
I've been to a couple of off Broadway shows. Some for school. I've recently seen the hip-hop Nutcracker.
Okay.
Which was not the Nutcracker.
Okay.
It was pretty interesting. It had good dancing in it. But I don't think I've seen that much now. I think that might be like maybe 4 or 5.
Okay. That's not bad, but I don't know. Like, for me, I guess I had the formative experience of seeing, I think this is a very common story, actually. If you look at a lot of people who are into musicals on social media, I feel like there was a Phantom of the Opera tour that happened in the late 90s that was like nationwide Phantom of the Opera tour. And so many people's parents took them to this tour that I feel like it like created a generation of musical theater nerds. Because I know at least Sarah and I have bonded over the fact that like that was our first musical that we attended, was that National Phantom Tour that she saw in like Cleveland and I saw in Denver. And like, I don't know, that's like what started it. And then from there, I've just always loved musicals. I mean, I don't love all musicals. I kind of not a big fan of any musical created between about 1930 and 1980, with some exceptions, some notable, maybe like 1960. I find them to be a little too fussy.
In what sense?
I don't like musicals that are too like conventional musical-y, I guess. I like them when they're doing weirder stuff. Aside from like Phantom. I feel like Phantom is just like the apex of like the conventional musical though.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
but also like we have a history with Phantom where like Sarah worked on it for like mad long.
Yeah, but I was into it before I knew Sarah.
True, I guess.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like,
and also the fact that you really like it. Like, again, for me, it's just the two of you that are my like connections to this thing.
But like, I was really big into Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson, which was an emo rock musical about Andrew Jackson. I loved Great Comet, what was it called? Full name, Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, which is about a small part of War and Peace. It's not about all of War and Peace. It's not because War and Peace is so long. It's retelling like 1/3 of the book, which was amazing. I saw it with Josh Groban when it was on Broadway and it was wonderful. I don't know, just anything weird. Anytime anyone does anything weird with a musical like that, like I'm very into right now. This recording for Octet, which is a choir, like it's like a
quartet but doubled.
No. Thanks, Val. It's about, how would I describe it? It is a chamber choir. That's what it's called. And so it's like no instruments. It's just eight people doing this beautiful kind of, almost it sounds like kind of very religious sounding musical, but it's all about social media addiction.
Gotcha. So they use the architecture of the room they're singing in.
Yeah.
But the vibes are modern. Well, I like that.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's all to say, musical theater rules and will corrupt you someday, Val. You need to go see Sarah's show.
You know what? I actually have come across things from Phantom that really affected me as a person before I knew you.
What?
I'm going to share this. You've seen this before, but it's a shrew singing.
A shrew singing?
Yeah.
Like a literal shrew? Like the animal?
I'm just sending you all sorts of things this episode. Have you never seen this video?
Yes, I have. Okay.
Yes. So that is the first time I've encountered it. And to all the listeners, you also know what I'm talking about. Okay. If you've ever seen a shrew, which is like a teeny tiny mouse with a weird nose, sing that one song where he goes, "Sing to me.
My angel of music." Yeah, and it's the take a look at that snout meme. I usually see that one doing the, I don't know, other memes. But anyways, yes, I'm familiar with this one. Yes, okay. See, so if you like that song, you should go see Phantom. There's a lot of songs like that song.
I get so bored in theaters.
Really?
I don't know. I get restless, like, with my ADD and whatever. Like,
but
the D&D movie, I don't know how Becky, like, tolerated me, but I was just talking to her.
Okay. I'm glad I was not sitting next to you then.
Did it on purpose. Okay. You would have murdered me.
Yeah. Val knows that I don't like a lot of talking. I'm like, it's okay if you like make a joke or whatever, but man, I can't handle a lot of talking during a movie.
No, I was like sitting on my hands trying to be quiet. I was next to Anthony and like we were joking around, and because he was super high, it was fine.
Okay. He was? How did I not know
that? Have you not noticed?
I don't know. I'm very bad at telling, unless people tell me that they're high or drunk, I'm very oblivious to these things.
That's good.
Anyway, aside from our friend's drug use, music. Let's talk about concert. What was the first concert you ever went to?
My first ever concert?
Your first ever concert.
I don't know if I remember what the first one ever was, but...
Okay. The first memorable one.
Oh, actually... I think it was All Time Low.
Okay.
I think it was All Time Low and Best Buy Theater, and I think Pierce the Veil opened for them.
Okay.
And I think Sleeping with the Sirens was also somehow a part of it.
Maybe like a double header?
Something like that, because Pierce the Veil and Sleeping with Sirens, they have like a really, really, really popular song that they did together.
Okay.
And I think they sang that song, but it was so long ago. But yeah, Best Buy Theater, All Time Low. And then I went to Best Buy Theater, The Used, with my friend.
Okay.
But I was not The Used fan. She was.
Okay.
But it was really good. Okay. I really liked it.
Yeah.
How about you? What's your first concert?
It was actually the Bare Naked Ladies at Fiddler's Green.
Ooh, okay. I don't know that, but it sounds cool. They sound like they're anarchists.
No.
Oh, okay.
They're a Canadian pop band.
Ooh,
do you know that song One? Cooler. Do you know that song 1 Week? You're such a baby.
Maybe
baby Val doesn't know 1 Week by the Bare Naked Ladies. I'm sending you a URL for it.
I opened it.
Okay.
Oh, it's guys.
Yes. Do you know this song?
Oh, it sounds familiar, but it also sounds like every single other song
from
the 2010s, 2000s.
This song came out in like 1995, dude. So they must have been very forward thinking.
Oh, so it's the year I was born.
Yes. 1998 is when it came out.
Oh, okay. So I was 3.
Yes.
It sounds like a lot of... I probably heard it. Like, there's a very high chance I've heard it. I would not recognize it.
The summer this song came out, I was in day camp. Everyone knew all the lyrics to the song. Everyone would sing along at day camp, like it was just like everywhere. It was such a smash hit. You have no idea. This song was like Flagpole Sitta on steroids, which is probably another song that you're not going to know, but regardless. No idea.
But also, it sounds like all the soundtracks to the movies that are like American Pie and all those like young adult movies from that era.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, so this was the band I saw live at Fiddler's Green. It was actually a really good show. It was pouring rain. It was just dumping rain. But we persevered and it was worth it.
Okay.
Yeah, very good band. It was a great first band to see live, really. Like, it was a good performance and they were really energetic. And like, I don't know, I feel like it got me really hyped about going to more concerts. Because I feel like I've been to some concerts which were pretty bad. So let me start with that. Like, what's the worst concert you've ever been to?
This is super fresh.
Okay.
Super duper fresh.
Okay.
On Thursday.
Yeah.
I went to a concert and my hopes for that concert were so very high.
Okay.
But it felt very flat. Like, it felt so flat.
Well, okay. Do you not want to name and shame or?
I'll name and shame. I'll do it. Okay. I'm fearless.
Okay.
I don't think it was necessarily the artist's fault or anything, but the vibe was just not there. It felt like the musicians didn't like each other and they've been traveling together for too long or something. But so it was a Maggie Lindman concert.
Oh, that's not a pretty girl. Okay.
And I'm a big fan. I have, let me see how many liked songs I have. I have 8 liked songs, just like specifically liked. But I like a lot of her music.
Yeah.
And not only that, but Kaylee Morg opened for them.
Okay.
And I like her even more. So it was two bands that I really, like two singers that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
Like a lot. I really like these two singers. Morg lost her voice like the day before.
Okay.
So when she was on stage, she had no voice.
Oh, God.
So it was just the backing track. And she like, you know, with her raspy, raspy, gone voice, let us know that, like, hey, guys, I'm sorry. This is happening. This is, like, how it has to be, because I lost my voice. And the whole time, she looked so frustrated, and she looked like she was about to cry. And then when her set was done, she just, like, very quickly left the stage.
Yeah, no encore or anything.
Well, opener, you know.
Yeah.
But she very quickly left the stage, and I'm like, oh, She is not having a great time right now. Because she looked so bummed. And like all her other concerts for this tour looked really fun. But this one, she was just like super bummed. And then Maggie's band came out. And my God, they didn't like introduce each other. You know, like some, you go to concerts and the singer's like, and on the drums is Mike, you know?
Yeah.
Like she didn't introduce anyone. No one said hi. They didn't really talk between songs. It was just really weird.
Yeah.
And, like, the guitarist was really wilding up there on stage.
Okay.
But then, like, the rest of them had a different energy. And, like, it just was very bad.
Yeah. That's disappointing.
Even though she has, like, even though she's a really good singer and, like, she has a very unique voice when it's live. At first, I wasn't sure, but at the end, I was like, no, it's actually really good. But yeah, it was just the vibes were not there. And then like the opener was really like frustrated. The only thing that really saved it for me, I was there with my sister and there were two like gay guys next to us.
Okay.
And like their energy was great. And then right in front of us were these two girls that were super excited. And they were like singing along and screaming and jumping. Those four people were the only thing that really made it really, really good for us. Because we were, like, feeding off of that. But, like, yeah, it was a bummer. It was a bummer. And then, like, afterwards, like, when we got to meet the opener, she was just, like, bummed. She tried not to look it, but you can see when a person is bummed.
Yeah.
And she was bummed. So my worst concert is probably this Thursday. But for weird reasons, not that I didn't like the music. How about you?
Okay, I've got two that come to mind. Both happened in college. So the first is I went to see Regina Spektor.
Ooh, okay.
Who's amazing. Like, yeah. She was not bad. The issue was, for some reason, they had it at a nightclub. And, like, half the audience did not give a crap that Regina Spektor was on stage performing. They were just there for, like, nightclub reasons. And so you could barely hear her. And at certain points, she got so frustrated that she stopped playing and said, like, I can't even hear my own piano. It was so awkward. And it was so sad because Regina Spektor is amazing.
She's really good.
Yeah. So that was really sad. The other one was a December's concert where the lead singer had the flu. And you could tell that, like, he was kind of just like the concert you just described where, you know, like, he did not want to be there. He shouldn't have been there, but he should be in a bed with, like, a wet, you know, towel on his head and plenty of, like, soup and veggies and, you know, just relaxing and a popsicle maybe. But he did his best. He had to stop several times to get off stage. And I don't know what he was going off stage to do. I don't want to know. But he left the stage several times and came back and apologized. And then, like, at the end, he said, I'm very sorry. We can't do an encore. I need to go lie down. And that was, like, how the show ended.
Oh, God.
And then he said, like, we owe you one. We're very sorry. Next time we're here, we'll do a lot more. But, like, it was just really sad because it's, I don't know, at that point, I understand why they can't cancel, but it's just so awkward to see someone who's in so much pain and they feel obligated to perform for you. And it just feels really awkward. It's just like, no, you're like, I understand that, like, you have to, but on the other hand, I'm just like, I really wish you didn't have to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
And the concert I've been to, no encore either. They just walked off and that's it.
Yeah.
It was like, is it an age difference? I don't think so. Kaylee Morg, she, like, with her gone voice, still tried singing, which she shouldn't have. And she, like, still chatted with us.
Yeah.
But then the main act, they just, like, she said, like, a sentence or two and that's it. Like, she didn't talk. It was really strange. I don't know. Super strange. Maybe we're just too used to really good concerts. Because I don't go to concerts that often.
Yeah.
The one we've been to, the Mountain Goats one, was awesome.
Yeah. That was a great concert. Was it at Webster Hall?
I think so.
I really like the venue, too. Webster Hall in New York
Webster
was
Hall
great.
Webster Hall is awesome. Yeah, it's really good. I think I've seen Paris there the second time that I've seen them. And,
have you ever been to Brooklyn Steel? I really like Brooklyn Steel. It's a little hard to get
for
to.
For me, it's slightly easier.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
But yeah, my sister and I saw Willow there recently. It was really good. And we seen Noah Cyrus there recently, too.
Okay.
I'm not a huge fan of Noah Cyrus, it was a good concert. My sister likes...
That's Miley's...
A sister, yeah.
Yeah.
She has good music. Okay. It's just the genre is just slightly not in line with what I usually listen to, but there's a few songs that are really good.
Okay.
She also did a couple of songs with LP. Do you know LP?
I do not know LP.
I feel like you probably do, but look at me gaslighting you and saying you probably do. Hold on, I'm going to share it. This person is, she's really good. She has a weird voice. And, like, her voice at first was, like, I heard her on NPR, actually. She was doing an interview. And then they played some of her song. And I was, like, this is weird but good.
Yeah.
And then I started listening to her, and she's very good. She whistles really well. And I think she does a lot of music videos with her wife, which is cute. But, yeah, she has a few songs with Noah Cyrus that are really good too.
I'll check her out. Okay, why don't we end with, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something interesting.
I was just going to ask what your top three artists are right now.
Okay, right now?
Yeah.
Okay, good question. That's a great way to end. Okay. At press of time, I don't even know how that goes. If I think about like the three bands that I'm listening to the most right now, I would have to say it is Charlie Bliss.
Okay, they're awesome.
This like indie pop group with like I don't know, like a real like feminist message and a real like existential feminist message. Dairy and I love Queen it.
It's probably their most popular, right?
DQ, yeah.
Yeah.
They also have that song about that fake Hawaii nuclear bomb scare that is a really good song. I think it's called Blown to Bits. Highly recommend it. Mountain Goats as always. I've mm-hmm. been really into it. So he does an album that is inspired by verses from the Bible, and despite the fact that I am not religious and definitely not Catholic like he is, he actually makes them all about like very real issues, very like secular issues, I guess. It's not focused on religious faith. Mm-hmm. And then the third one, okay, I'm gonna go weird here. This is gonna be a weird one. You ready for this?
I'm so ready.
Sting. I don't know why. Okay. I've been listening to a lot of Sting lately. He has just a really great voice. He does a lot of weird guitar stuff, like weird timing and stuff. Like I was listening to one song and I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is in like 7/4 time. Like I was tapping out the beat. I'm like, this is so weird. But yeah, anyway, Sting. Okay.
All right.
Your top three.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Two I understand. The third one is a cool swerve.
Yeah.
I like it.
Got a swerve on the haters.
All these haters, yeah. All over the place.
Yeah, swerve on the haters. I don't know why I said that.
Okay, so I really like Medusa. They're like a queer, non-binary artist. Their most popular song is Danny Phantom. You might have actually
heard it. Oh, yes, I do know that song.
So they're really good. I really like a lot of their songs, but Kinda Out of Luck is probably my favorite. They have a new one that's out that's really good. So, Medusa. I'm not going to say Paris, because Paris is okay. Always kind of like...
No, you can totally... I said the Mountain Goats.
I know,
you can
but totally say Paris. There's a lot of like other... I like so many artists. So, I don't know how this one's pronounced, but she's a Russian singer. It's written OOES, so I'm assuming it's pronounced OES. Okay. But like, you know, funky. So, one of her songs is pretty queer.
Yeah.
But then like I didn't realize that it was until, because I heard her other songs first. But the more songs I listened by her, like, they're, a bunch of them are real queer.
Yeah.
And there's not, I don't think she has any about dudes at all. So I think she's a lady lover.
Okay.
So that one. And the third one, I'm going to go with King Mala. King Mala is great.
I've never heard of King Mala.
What? What? Yes, you did. She sings She Calls Me Daddy. She sings Cult Leader.
I don't know these songs.
I don't know why I keep gaslighting you into saying you do. That's weird.
Val just assumes because she loves this artist, I must know that.
Exactly.
Okay. She can't envision a world in which King Mala is not known.
I feel like I've shared it with you because I can't not share songs.
Okay, well, I will have to check her out.
You know what we should do? We should do like a fun little playlist of maybe like 10 favorite songs.
Yeah, and put it on with a link.
10 of yours, 10 of mine, and then like a playlist and have a,
a
link. Okay. That's what we're going to do, listeners.
Okay.
We're just going to do like 10 songs we're vibing with.
And put it, we'll put it in the description. It'll be a Spotify link and check it out. I mean, you can see how bad our taste in music
is. It's awesome. It's really good.
I mean, it's mine's probably trash, the best. But...
I don't know. You shared a lot of pretty funky, fresh songs. Okay. Oh my God. My sister says it all the time, and I'm adopting her language. You send me a lot of cool D&D songs, and like she plays bass is good. I don't know. The songs you send me are great.
Okay. Well, that's because I'm very careful to curate what I send you, but I appreciate that. Okay, so check out that link. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I just want to mention our social media. Our Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest is @InMediaLez. Our subreddit is r/InMediaLez. Our Tumblr is...
thepodinmedialez.tumblr.com.
You can email us at InMediaLez@gmail.com, and our website is InMediaLez.com. Thank you to everyone who rates, likes, subscribes, smashes that like button, whatever it is you do, love you.
Also, share your favorite artists with us on Tumblr.
Yes, or
send
any social media.
Any social media, yes.
Yes, send us your favorite bands that you think we would like or you think we would hate. Maybe we'll do a follow-up.
Send music you hate.
Yes. Make us listen to the worst stuff.
If an artist just, like, pisses you off, let us know. I'm always interested in who people hate in music. Because I've never had, like, an artist I hated in music, and that's always so funny, too.
We should talk about that, because I've got a couple. But for next time.
For next time.
Yeah.
Well, which we'll see you then.
Yes.
In the next time.
Do you want to do that again, or is that the way you're going to do it? Okay.
I'm sticking with it.
Okay, and God bless you.